The word today is burden. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. God intends for each of us to have a deep desire to reach the lost. They should be on our hearts and minds. As we grow in faith, our desire to have others be saved will also grow. Here from our archives, to help us analyze our own heart on this subject, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Burden.
It is God's plan that every one of us who have been converted, every one of us who have become His children and have been given the gift of faith, should be an ambassador for Christ. We are to be the spokesman. We are to be those that go out in the name of God to make a witness to anyone who will listen to us. That's our goal. We are to be the people of God, living in a way that exemplifies to the world that they don't have to be in a ruthless society, in a society that is evil and wicked, but they have an alternative, and that is to come to know Jesus Christ and live within the family of the Holy Christian Church. Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of people in churches, and that goes across every denomination, that are not too committed to God. They are not very rooted in their faith, and as a result, their conduct and their life sometimes presents an obstacle to people rather than a witness. I can't think of anything worse than somebody who claims to be a Christian who is living a life that is full of immorality, full of evil. You know, once in a while, a weak Christian, before they get very strong in the Lord, still has a lot of their sinful nature hanging on to them. You know, we know how that is. We're not in heaven yet. And there can be, let's take as an illustration, let's say you know a neighbor of yours that claims to be a Christian and goes to church, and yet every Tuesday or Wednesday night you see them drunk, and you say to yourself, well, if that's what being a Christian is, that person is simply a hypocrite. Well, now, it could be that they are a hypocrite. Only God would know, because only He can look in the heart. Or maybe he's just a weak Christian that hasn't gotten close enough to the Lord and strong enough in his faith to be able to resist that temptation. You know, some of those temptations are extremely difficult to overcome, and we would probably even say addictions. And so you really can't tell for sure, but it certainly is clear that any Christian living that type of a life is an obstacle to the gospel, because others are observing him and saying, well, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want any part of it. Now, that's just the opposite of what God expects of us and wants us to be. We are not to be obstacles blocking the way for other people to believe. Our lifestyle is not to be so offensive and so evil that people would say, well, I don't want any part of the Christian church if that's the way they act. Instead, we are to be living a life that exudes love. One of the things that Christ talks about, he says the Christian marriage, the relationship between the husband and the wife. You know, this is discussed in a number of places in the Bible. In the first epistle of Peter, it's discussed in the third chapter, for instance. You can find a lot of references there. We are to be an example of Christ's relationship to his church. That's what we are to be. And if we are showing love and understanding and sympathy and fellowship and so on in our marital lives, other people will observe that. And they will say, well, isn't that a wonderful couple? And aren't they? Have you noticed how they help each other and how they enjoy each other's company? And have you noticed that they never seem to get angry or mad at each other? And if they do, they immediately are asking for forgiveness and are immediately apologizing. See, that's the way our witness should be to the world, that they can observe us and say, boy, they have something unique. They have something different. We wish we could have that. How can we get that spiritual power that they have? We'd like it for ourselves, and that's the way our witness is supposed to be in the eyes of the world that watches us and observes us. And be assured, somebody is watching you, not just your children, not just your grandchildren, but the people around you at work and that you socialize with. Everybody's watching you. We're making some kind of a witness. Either because of our evil actions or attitudes, it's an obstacle, or because of our love and our efforts to really show understanding and forgiveness, it becomes a real live witness for Christ. Ultimately, as you grow in your faith, you're going to get so close to God, and Christ will be so meaningful in your lives that you will begin to have a burden for the lost. Just like St. Paul, just like John the Baptist, just like any of the prophets in the Old Testament, your faith will begin to lead you to understand what God wants you to do and how he wants you to witness. You know, some of the great leaders of the Christian faith, and I'm not only talking now, people like Billy Graham and others like him, but I'm talking about in the past. One of my favorite preachers in the past was Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon. What a great man of God. And Spurgeon, you know, reminded us that if we are not on fire by the Holy Spirit, it's going to be difficult for anyone else around us to look alive or to want it. It's such a negative witness when Christians come off as though they're sad and depressed and they don't know what they're here on earth for, and they're confused and they're troubled and they're discouraged. My goodness, that's a terrible witness. What should be happening in our relationship with Christ is that the gift of the Holy Spirit is so strong in our lives that we'll stick out among groups as someone who really has hope, someone who really knows what they're here on earth for, someone who really understands the purpose of their lives, and someone who is radiant with the love of Christ, even in the middle of trouble. I am so pleased with one of the members of our congregation right now, a 30-year-old young woman who is struggling desperately with cancer. The doctors haven't given her long to live. Her cancer has metastasized, and as a result, they feel she'll be dead soon. Well, we'll see. That'll be up to God. I know people that have been told that they're going to be dead in a year or two, and they're still living 3, 4, 5 years later. So only God ultimately knows that. I'm not condemning doctors. Thank goodness we have them and how wonderful they are to try and help us, but they're not God. And ultimately God is in charge. Well, this young woman, instead of moping and moaning and complaining, is filled with love. She just praises God every day. You know, how are you? I'm fine. I'm having a wonderful day. You know, she is just radiant in her love. She is obviously ready to meet her Lord. And I have to tell you, that's the mark of a person that can really live. When you're ready to die, then you can really live. And I can say that from personal experience. In my life, I've been very close to death 5 times. 3 of them, I should have obviously been dead. And after each incident in my life, I have found it much more easy because I'm ready to die. And I know I'm ready to die. There's nothing in this. I could drop dead this second, and I would have salvation through Jesus Christ because he's promised me. He said, if you believe in me, your sins are forgiven. I do believe in him. My sins are forgiven, and I have the promise of life eternal. That's so beautiful. That's why I can live a joy-filled life. Now, I'm still a sinner like everyone else. You know, I'm not trying to say that there aren't problems in my life. Of course there are. I'm not trying to say I don't ever feel despair or discouragement. Of course I do. I mean, I'm still a human being. And I'm not yet perfect. That's very obvious. Like St. Paul says, we haven't arrived yet. We're in a process. We're in a growth process. But I'll tell you what, I have a great deal of joy and happiness in my life because of Christ. And that's given me the purpose of my life, the goal of my life, the passion of my life. And I believe as you get in a relationship with Christ, you have a burden to reach other people so that they too can be saved. Just imagine, let's say you're walking down the street and there's a house on fire. And you see someone in the upstairs window yelling and screaming, "Help, help, my children are here," or something like that. Now, if you can walk past that house and say, "Hey, I'm just going to pretend as though I didn't hear that. I'm going to pretend as though I didn't see that. I'm going to get out of here because otherwise I'll be obligated to help in some way." Now, obviously, if that's your attitude, you're not much of a human being, and you certainly would not be a Christian. That would be rather obvious. What is supposed to happen in a situation like that, you would say, "I've got to get help," or you'd be running into the house trying to find one of those little children. You couldn't just take that indifferently. There would be a burden on your heart. "Boy, I've got to help here. I've got to do something." Now, I believe with all my heart that if you know Jesus Christ is the only Savior in the world, that you can't be saved without knowing Him, then you're going to have a burden on your heart. It's going to be a real burden. You're going to say, "What can I do? Is it my son? Is it my neighbor? Is it someone at work? Is it someone halfway around the world in China or India? I need to bring the news of Jesus Christ to those people." And your life will be consumed with that purpose and with that burden. That's how you will know and understand how important Jesus means to you, because He means the same thing to other people, and they need that opportunity, and they need to hear about Jesus so that the Holy Spirit can convert them. And God wants to use you and me for that purpose. That's why He saved us, for our salvation, but that's why we're still living here. Otherwise, we'd already gone to heaven. We're living here so that God can use us to reach others and more people can come to know Jesus as their Savior.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.